Good day, people. This is Ms. Cece, the real infopreneur. Thank you for joining us. Today, we will be speaking with entertainment attorney, vocal artist, and motivational speaker, Aria Elon. Aria will introduce her new single to our listeners entitled, I Do. Aria, welcome, and thank you so much for joining us. Please tell us how you got started singing.
First of all, I'd like to thank you so much for inviting me. And I can't even remember a time when I wasn't singing, because I grew up in my late father's church. He was a pastor, and my mother was the choir director. So I just come from a musical gospel background.
Oh, wow. That sounds very amazing. So you were in church a lot when you were young, and they put you in the children's choir, and they put you on the stage, and you had to do solos and all that.
Oh, my goodness, yes. If I never go to church another day in my life, I will still be good.
Because we had to
go about 5 days a week. There was not only the Sunday services, you know, with Sunday school and the actual service, but choir rehearsal or usher rehearsals, you know, it was all good, but definitely you could not opt out.
Right.
Everybody in the house had to go.
Well, it definitely trained you for this position today, right?
Thank you. It certainly did. And gospel music is still one of my heartfelt loves. You know, I feel like that's the root coming straight from Africa, and, you know, with the rhythms and with everything that our people had to go through for all those hundreds of years with chattel slavery. You know, I think that was one of the tools through our music and through our rhythms that helped us to survive.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. There's so much language that went on with our music. We had to be able to communicate many different ways so that the slave master could not understand what we were doing when we were trying to communicate with one another.
Oh, my goodness. You are so right. I mean, those spirituals, you know, those songs had double meaning. You know, it's like the Capoeira, Brazilian martial arts, the slave masters just thought it was dance, mm-hmm. you know, but they were communicating, you know, so much through those movements. And wherever our people have landed in the diaspora, we found those ways to keep our culture and traditions alive in the midst of all of that, you know, oppression that, you know, we have to endure.
Mm-hmm. And you know what, honestly, I think we still do that today. But the difference is there's so much cultural appropriation that goes on. And so people try to steal our language, and then it gets kind of bastardized. And, you know, it just kind of is what it is today.
Yeah, but see, this is the thing about us. As soon as that happens, you know, when, you know, a particular slang or like a dance move is appropriated, we just come up with something new.
Yes, because we are the creators of it all. Absolutely.
This is it, because I'm definitely a jazz vocalist. Also, I do like a fusion, But I love jazz. And one of the things that the brothers did in the bebop era was just play so fast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, okay, appropriate this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they couldn't do it. Those
right.
rhythms, those polyrhythms.
Mm-hmm.
And if you listen to the bebop from the 50s, I mean, it was just phenomenal.
Right. Is it called scatting?
No, the scatting was like what the sisters like Ella were doing, which is still incredible vocally, where
okay.
they wouldn't even use like words. And Ella said she started doing it because she would forget lyrics.
Oh.
And then, you know, she just would go just with the melody and with the rhythm and just let it go. But the bebop was a particular style of jazz. Before that, you had like the big band, you know, the
mm-hmm.
big band orchestras. But then
mm-hmm.
you start getting like the quartet, and they would play, you know, these pieces, and sometimes they would be like for 15 minutes, 20 minutes, and it's just the rhythms, like the polyrhythms of the drummer, and then the other musicians coming in, you know, and improvising. And then they would play at the tempo, would be so fast until, you know, still I'm amazed. And this is like, what, this is 70 years later, and you listen to them today, you know, those kinds of, like Jackie McLean is
mm-hmm.
one of the artists from that era who I had the honor of meeting. You know, I'm friends with his son, and I lived in New York, which is the jazz capital of America, if not the world. And I got the opportunity to hear him, you know, and his quintet play in Manhattan before he retired.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Wow, that is
unbelievably
amazing.
Great.
Yes. So with the inspiration that you receive as an artist, who would you say that you draw most from?
Oh, that's a great question. You know what? I love artists from different genres.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite songwriters, vocalists, has to be the late, great Marvin Gaye.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was just such a phenomenal artist. And for him to go from What's Going On, you know,
mm-hmm.
which is still a classic
mm-hmm.
today, and again, that was in the 60s, and then to go to the romantic side with Let's Get It On, I mean,
mm-hmm.
because activists need love too, you know,
mm-hmm.
we all need love, so
mm-hmm.
he was definitely one of my favorites, and I already mentioned Ella Fitzgerald in terms of jazz artists, and then
mm-hmm.
Billie Holiday. You know, I can't even, they're so different, but I can't even pick between them.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of female vocalists, oh my goodness. I just really, really love to listen and just feel
mm-hmm.
them. It's
mm-hmm.
one thing to listen. The other thing is just to let it go all the way through you. And that's what their music does to me.
I definitely can relate to that, because music can change the atmosphere of a situation at any time. And, you know, especially in these times that we're going through this COVID virus and people are having to stay in the house, you need to make sure that you're able to uplift yourself. And music is a great way to do that.
It is so true. Your words are so true. And that's why, you know, my brand is feel good music, you know,
mm-hmm.
no matter what genre, what style of music I am offering, you know, to my fans. I want that to be the common denominator.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want them to feel good, you
mm-hmm.
know, and to uplift them. Even like my hotter album, the album before this album that's going to drop tomorrow, which is called Fun. And my Fun album is filled, all of my music is original that I've either written or co-written. you know, mm-hmm. with my producers. But the social justice album, Hotter, mm-hmm. you know, even my approach to that was to have beautiful music, even when I was talking about harsh subjects, like mm-hmm. I mm-hmm. dealt with mass incarceration, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, but it's like a salsa beat. Mm-hmm. I mean, like really that you just want to jump up and dance. Voice of the Voiceless is a cappella, you know, and that one goes back to my gospel roots because people listen to that. And I'm talking about, as its name suggests, the have-nots, the voiceless, mm-hmm. you know, the people who are left out, you know, like the example you gave of with this pandemic, with the relief, there's millions of Americans who are getting zero, you know, the Easter egg zilch from mm-hmm, mm-hmm, they're mm-hmm. they're totally gonna be left out, like business as usual in terms of, you know, how they're gonna be treated. And LA, where I am, is the homeless capital of the world, you know, and or at least in America. I mean, there's hundreds of thousands. They will tell you that L.A. has, I think the official count is 60,000. I must have seen 60,000 when we shot No Homelessness video in February of last year. Hmm. We started in January. We shot in the daytime and the nighttime. And people who were mostly Black were sleeping on the sidewalk. It was cold. Mm-hmm. Go for LA, you know, and raining, mm-hmm. either the sidewalk or tents. As far as the eye could see, that's all that you saw. So, you know, I mean, for this to be the richest nation in the world, you know, it's a disgrace in terms of how we treat the least of us.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I definitely agree. Now, when you shot the video and you said that you probably saw about 60,000 people at that time, were you on Skid Row?
Yeah, we were on Skid Row, downtown Los Angeles. And okay. I mean, the contrast, when you watch, and anyway, my YouTube channel is just like my name, Aria Elan, A-R-I-A-E-L-A-N. So mm-hmm. when you watch my No Homelessness video, the contrast, because the Geronimo is my friend and videographer, you know, he had the drones taking the shots, you know, like of the skyscrapers and all of that, you know, like all of that wealth mm-hmm. and everything, right?
Right.
And then you zoom down and there's like a homeless brother, you know, who is just on the sidewalk in the rain with the blanket mm-hmm. covering himself, but you could still see his face, you know, and his eyes are what drew me in, because they're like, oh, those people are just mentally ill. Well, if you're not mentally ill, which that's no excuse for not helping people, because that's a sickness, but if you're not mentally ill, you have a good chance of becoming mentally ill if you're living on the street for any period of time.
Right. That's absolutely true. Well, it's good that you have brought light to the social justice issues with your albums. I think that you have an album, I'm not sure when this was made, but it's called Peace and Love, and it's the environmental album.
Oh, the environmental song was on that same Hotter album.
Okay.
And that one, I'm so glad you mentioned that one. That's dear to my heart, because that song, which is called Earth Ina, was co-written by me and my daughter. Her name is Eden, and her debut project, which is called The Essence of Eden, just dropped on March 30th, and they're all her original New Age compositions that are just so relaxing and meditative, particularly now where people are on lockdown and Some people have insomnia and, you know, anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's been a very much a blessing. But Earth Ina, I wrote the lyrics and Eden wrote the music while we were on Hawaii. And Ina is a Hawaiian word that means the oceans, the earth, and the people are one.
Mm.
And from what I get from, isn't there something in other cultures they can have one word that means, it's so profound, that means so much. And from what I got from out of that is what we do to earth, we're doing to ourselves.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Yeah, we're all part of the same ecosystem, you know, mm-hmm. and one of the side effects from the lockdown, the global lockdown, has been, you know, like you look at you can see, you know, the mountains now. The sky is blue, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You can, all of these things that were man-made, you know,
mm-hmm.
like all of the destruction, the pollution, all of the stuff. It's like we hit pause.
Mm-hmm.
So the question and the issue is, when we restart, is it going to be business as usual? Or are we going to try to build a better and more just world?
Right. Well, that's the $100 million question. But I do believe that there are so many people that have drawn a great thing from this experience. They have grown closer to their children, because as you shuffle them off to daycare and school, you only see them on the weekend. And then on the weekend, you give them their tablets or their phones. But now you are forced to not only be with them, you're forced to teach them. So you actually know their skills, their strengths, their weaknesses, and they know the same about you. Whereas before, you didn't know that. And now when we have the opportunity to go back in the world as business as usual, I believe that there will be so many provoked not to be business as usual. Some will not want to go back into the world. They want to stay home and care for their children, their household, and just have a peace of mind versus the chaos, because that is absolutely how we were living, is chaos, chaotic, I should say.
Mm-hmm. From your mouth to God's ears, I just am so prayerful that that's the lesson that we take from this, and that when we go back, it's not business as usual. And like you said, that we implement and we keep doing a lot of these things. Another example, just in terms of preparing food,
mm-hmm.
instead of eating all that fast food.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
People have been cooking, going on YouTube, looking up recipes, you
mm-hmm.
know. I mean,
yes.
Sitting down, eating
mm-hmm.
with their family.
Yeah.
I mean, something that they've never done before, because why? I don't have time. I don't have time. I got to go, got to go, got to go, you know? So,
mm-hmm.
yes, I definitely am prayerful that what you're saying comes into reality.
Well, I know that I've spoken with a few parents, and it's definitely going to be that, and I'm so thankful for that, because if a few people do it, it just makes our society a whole lot better. And I'm just really excited about the outcome and the stories that will come from this time, because it is definitely something that is marked in history as a big event. So, you know what I want to talk about is your label called Cece. And I also want to talk about, no, is your label is called Cece Records, or is it?
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm.
Okay, but then you also founded Isis Management. Well, we all know that my name is Cece and my oldest daughter's name is Isis.
Wow, this is definitely kismet and meant to be, you know, because Isis Management came first for me. You know, I started Isis Management in L.A. and then when I moved to New York, it was for the purpose of a musical that I had written was being staged off Broadway. So I was only supposed to stay there for like 3 months, ended up spending 5 years there, and ISIS management, we had clients. We were located at 1674 Broadway, right in Manhattan, you know, in the theater district. So it was a wonderful, wonderful time in my life. And, you know, I no longer have the ISIS management, but I just reversed it to CC and started my independent record label, and have had the honor of, you know, helping a lot of artists. We've released so far music on 21 different artists over the years. So, and Eden's, my daughter, is number 22.
You know? Wow, that's amazing.
That just makes me feel real good. I mean, I love helping people. And I've told people who, you know, are like sad or, you know, real down because they may be alone or whatever reason, just having a difficult time during this, you know, shelter in place. And I just tell them, if you can think of something that you can do to help somebody who's in a worse situation than yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It may sound weird, but that will actually make you feel better.
Mm-hmm.
Helping somebody else. And that's something my parents taught me and, you know, that has stuck with me all these years.
Yes, acts of service are very important because as you give, you're also receiving. It's a beautiful thing.
Yes, that's mm-hmm. one of the metaphysical laws of nature.
I love it. So, you know what? Speaking of giving, you are also an entertainment attorney. Talk with us about that.
Oh, thank you. Yes, well, again, this is all due to my dear mother, you know, because I had told her, and as a matter of fact, was even in a band at the time. You know, I had just graduated from high school. And, you know, I told her I wanted to pursue music, and she really encouraged me to go to college and go to law school, because she said that, you know, you can sing, nobody's stopping you from singing, but get your education. And she was like, that's something that was against the law for many, many years for Black people to even get an education. And now that you have this opportunity, you need to go ahead and take advantage of it. So I am so happy that I listened to her. I came out once I graduated from the College of Charleston in my hometown, then I moved out to LA and went to law school and graduated and became a California attorney. So it was just a natural thing for me to want to do entertainment law, because that's something that I, you know, had and still have a passion for.
Mm-hmm.
And it has really, really helped me because, you know, in case your audience doesn't know, I mean, this is one of the original cutthroat businesses.
Mm.
And if you do not have someone in your corner, an experienced entertainment attorney, you know, you can really, really mess yourself up for years, because
mm-hmm.
the courts will only relieve two categories of people, you know, from contracts once you sign, if you're a minor, you know, or if you're legally incompetent. And that's a high standard to reach. Because other things like, you know, you say, oh, it was fraud.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get out of here. You know, they're mm-hmm. going to kick you out of court.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so important to before you sign, okay, to get that legal advice from somebody who has expertise,
mm-hmm.
not a divorce lawyer, not a criminal lawyer, but an entertainment attorney.
Not a personal injury attorney.
You have to get somebody who has experience in the area of the law that you're dealing with, because all seriousness, each area of the law, you know, is this expertise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you can be a great, incredible, you could be like the late Johnny Cochran, you know, as far as a criminal attorney,
mm-hmm.
and not have a clue when mm-hmm. it comes to negotiating a contract.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Now, have you represented a few people that we may know about?
Yes, my most famous client went right after I had passed the bar, and that was the late great godfather of soul, Mr. James Brown. You know, he had just gotten out, because he's from, you know, where I'm from. He grew up in Georgia, but was born in South Carolina, and, you know, got caught up and actually had gone to prison in South Carolina. And then when he got out, you know, he actually, a lot of people don't know this, but he produced and made a gospel album, which was called God Has Smiled on Me, He Has Set Me Free. You know, so that's the point in his career. And I remember, you know, at that point, you know, that you can tell who are your true friends. You know, mm-hmm. like when you are in jail and when you're in the hospital.
Right.
Test the test. My late father told me that, and it's like 100%, you know, because that's when you're low. That's when you're down, you know. And
mm-hmm.
some people were laughing at him, you know, but he was a visionary. He
mm-hmm.
was not only, like, you know, phenomenal performer and everything, a businessman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at the point in time when hardly anybody did, you know, owning his own publishing, his songs. But he was a visionary, and he visualized himself coming up with another hit song and being able to play a stadium again.
Wow.
And he did. He did it, you know. So, yeah. And then the late Miriam Makeba, you know, who's the South African singer, songwriter,
mm-hmm.
who was lovingly referred to as Mama Africa, you know,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, I had the opportunity of meeting her and representing her at, again, the beginning of my career, and this was the twilight of her career, and at that point in time, she was the victim of fraud by her accountant, who, unbeknownst to her, had signed over her copyright, you know, like, to himself, and to the point where, like, the royalty checks, when you're a songwriter,
mm-hmm.
then you have organizations like BMI or ASCAP, performing rights organizations, that collect money, like whenever your song is, say, it's played in a television commercial or
mm-hmm.
on radio, you know, they have formulas and it's paid in. And she was wondering why she wasn't getting anything, and he had already absconded and left the country. But again, she was so positive. Yes, she had moved back home. This was right after Mr. Mandela had gotten out of prison and, you know, became the president of South Africa. So she was living in New York, and she moved back home and was not doing well at all, you know, but just the sweetest person. And again, a visionary and positive. And she just, you know, when I gave her the bad news that we couldn't even trace him, you know, he was had absconded from New York and everything, she was just comforting me instead of me comforting her.
Mm-hmm.
And she visualized herself being on top again. And
mm-hmm.
lo and behold, she won a Lifetime Achievement Award that was like about, I think the prize was either like $75,000 or $100,000, which back in the day and in South Africa, that was enough to her for her to buy land, build a house, and her career just started. Matter of fact, she passed away on stage performing at a big festival, doing what she loved in Italy.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, those are my two favorite true stories of how it's just so important to keep the faith no matter what, no matter what. And then I don't care what the circumstances are. You can rise above it. But if you just give up and don't try, well, you're guaranteed to lose.
Right. Well, you know what? As you're speaking right now, I'm reminded that you're also a motivational speaker and you have encouraged many diverse audiences. Tell us about some of the platforms in which you have been invited to speak.
Oh, thank you. Some of my favorites have been speaking before youth. Like I have spoken at the California Youth Authority, which is a fancy word for like the jails, you know, for young people.
The juvenile justice system, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, they give it a name, the California Youth Authority. You might think that that's some type of after-school thing, you know?
But right.
It's no. Really, right. It's
jail for kids, yeah.
Right, you know? And I've spoken there, and I remember, you know, and I can't even remember his name now, but one young man kept in touch with me. You know, after while he was in and after he got out, he actually went back to school and he became a school teacher in San Diego. Wow. I'm glad I don't even remember his name because I would never want to put somebody on blast, you know, that they were in the CYA.
Right.
But yeah, just talking to young people, you know, I mean, it just really energizes me. And then also, you know, I have spoken, again, these are young people, but they're not with the jail, but they're like with the foster system. And California is like most states, I think almost all of them, when you turn 18, even if you're still like a senior in high school or whatever, you age out. And so there's so much homelessness because you're talking about young people, you know, who's still in high school. And even if they have a little part-time job, you know, at McDonald's or whatever, they don't have the wherewithal to get an apartment, you know. And I have spoken, and it just touches my heart because there are children and they're adults now, you know, who have again risen above the circumstances. And I remember one young girl, you know, just their stories, the true stories of, you know, growing up with her mother being on drugs, you know, going from motel to motel until she was finally taken out of the system. And then, you know, she was mentored because that's one of the things that, you know, we do is they'll put, like, match up, you know, one of the kids, like a one-on-one. Mm-hmm. It's not Big Brothers or, you know, Big Sisters, which I'm sure that's a great program too, but that's what they do. And she ended up graduating from college and going forth to get her master's, and I still am in touch with her, you know? I mean, she's doing great.
So, that is wonderful.
Yeah, just to be a positive force, because we can't do but so much, you know? I mean, we can only do but so much, but you never know when, you know, a positive, good, encouraging word and just being able to tell, you know, the young person that they can call you. And then we would always, you know, make sure that they were in a safe environment, because mm-hmm. we had, it's like a nonprofit, and we would have money, you know, they're vetted, you know, to make sure that they're actually doing something positive. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's like God helps those who help themselves. And then if they are, then we make sure that they're in an apartment, they have food, you know, they have books when they're in school and all of this. So, yeah, those are my favorites, is working with young people. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I've spoken at different corporations and even, you know, the military, the U.S. Navy, the Air Force, you know, during Black History Month. I've been called in several times, and that's great too, you know, but I feel that if you can connect with someone when they're young like that, you know, you can really change the trajectory of their lives.
Absolutely. That is so important, because when they have that lack of guidance from the elders, like, why would we even expect them to turn out right? I mean, it just doesn't make sense.
Oh, yeah. And yeah. The name of the nonprofit, you know, that I've worked with is called United Way.
Oh, United Way. Okay, that's perfect. Mm-hmm. So speaking about success here, you have something called the ABCs of success. What is that about?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the ABCs, I always like to keep it where it's simple. Even in my songwriting, you know, I got that from the late, great Bob Marley, that he likes to write songs that a child could understand, you know. Mm-hmm. And the A is for always believe in yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, if no matter, if nobody else does, if somebody, like my late father used to say, just because somebody calls you a dog doesn't mean you have to get down on all fours and start barking.
Wow.
I mean, you just have to really believe in yourself. And then the B is for be kind. You know, I mean, that does not cost you any money, you know, mm-hmm. just to be able to share a kind word with somebody or a mm-hmm. smile. You know, I mean, again, that could change, or eye contact with somebody who is on the street, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. homeless, not just walking over them like they're invisible. I mean, just little small things can make a heck of a difference in people's lives. And then if you haven't already gotten it from talking to me, it's like the cheerfulness. You know, I mean, if you have your attitude is going to determine so much in your life. People want to be around positive people. You know, you're going to be like a magnet to attract other positivity. You
yes.
know, so I just, even if, you know, I'm human like everybody else. So even if it's something that is like a bad vibe or something like that, then I can always think of something positive and cheerful to put a smile on my face and to, you know, make me radiate that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. That I think that just takes you a long way in life.
Well, that is wonderful. So what we want to make sure that we do is we want to allow people to know where they can reach out to you, because, I mean, you're an attorney. You're also an artist. You have a website, and then you have several social media sites. So where's the best place where they can get the information to reach out to you?
The best place is from my website, which is ariaelan.com, ariaelan.com. And also on all social media, I'm at ariaelan. You know, whether it's Instagram or Twitter, you know, Facebook, it's Ari Elan Official, but everything else, the same thing with YouTube, Ari Elan, A-R-I-A-E-L-A-N.
Okay, and then also you mentioned you have a something coming out tomorrow. Is this your new video called Afro Rio? Is that what it is?
That's what it is.
Okay.
Yes, and tomorrow is just, I'm overjoyed because tomorrow my new album, which is titled Fun, that's the official release date. So tomorrow it's going to be on Spotify, iTunes, Amazon, anywhere that you get your music, it's going to be there. And then also tomorrow is the premiere of my Afro Rio action video, which we were blessed to have wrapped up all of the shooting on locations before the pandemic. You know,
isn't that a blessing when you realize you got some things done before all this stuff hit? I'm telling you, I'm so thankful for
oh,
that.
Oh, my goodness. And that's why you've got to try not to procrastinate.
That is right. That's right.
If we had it would not have happened because we have a Copiera, which is a Brazilian martial artist who's appearing in there. And SAG-AFTRA actors, you know, it's just, I'm very happy with it. So that premieres tomorrow on my YouTube channel. And again, Aria Elan, A-R-I-A-E-L-A-N. And that is at 7 o'clock p.m. Pacific time, California time.
Yep.
So you're on Central, right?
I am Central Standard Time, and we also have some Eastern Standard Time listeners, and we have people that are all around the world. So we definitely look forward to promoting everything that you're doing, and we want you to just, you know, do well because you're doing a whole lot of work that people need to hear about. So that's wonderful.
Thank you. And this one, like you say, it's global. It's all over the world. So for some people, 7 o'clock p.m. California time, that's like 3 o'clock in the morning. So if you miss the premiere, then it's going to be live after that. You know, that's just with the premiere, everybody's going to be in the chat room, and that's the first time, you know, that it's going to be viewed. So that's exciting. And, of course, I'll be in the chat room. My music producer, Carl Merritt, and the video producer, Geronimo, you know, the actors, we're going to all be there.
Wow. Well, that sounds like an amazing event, and I hope everyone is able to tune in so that they can support you. But Aria, do you have any last words for our listeners?
I just want to say, first of all, to you, Sister Cece, thank you so much for inviting me. I had such a great time. You're a wonderful interviewer. You asked really, really thought-provoking questions. And as far as to your listeners, I am inviting you to please follow me, listen to my music, check out my videos, because I'm all about feel-good music, you know, and you contact me, you're going to hear back from me, you know, not from a robot or an assistant, you're going to hear back from me. So definitely I look forward to hearing from people and give me feedback, you know, let me know, you know, if you dig it, what's going on when you check it out.
Wow. Well, this was an interview with Aria Elan. We thank you again. And this has been Miss Cece, the Real Infopreneur on Black Talk Radio Network, as well as SoundCloud. We'll talk to you again soon.